All right. This is the Environmental Services Advisory Committee March 9th meeting. We have a quorum and it is 4:04 and I'm calling the meeting to order. All right, let's start out with item one and roll call. Brad Ariza.
Here.
Margo Garcia.
Here.
Michael Harrier.
Here.
Trevor Ledbetter.
Here.
Susanna Shippers.
Susanna. You think if we sing, she'll come? Oh, Susanna, but don't you cry for me.
Susanna, are you here?
She just put a message. She's here. She must be having mic problems.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. All right. And then Elvira is absent. Ryan?
Here.
And I'm Chrissy Arter, present. So do we get everybody? Yep. All right. And I did want to just mention to everybody that Yolanda did step down. And so now we are 8. And so if you know anybody that's interested, I sent a letter to City Manager Ortega. He still has 2 more positions he needs to fill. Ward 4 needs one and the mayor needs one. So
I think we should thank Yolanda for her many years of service on the committee and bringing us the South Side perspective, which
We
haven't always had. So it's been very valuable to have her on.
And we came on together. So we did the Valentine's Day tour together. So
we thank her for her service.
We'll miss her. Yeah. All right. So we can move on to item 2, approval of minutes. For the August 11th, 2022 minutes, are there any additions or corrections?
I make a motion, we approve them.
Second.
Okay, so those minutes will be accepted as written, September 8, 2022.
I make a motion, we approve them as written.
Okay. Second. Yes, no corrections. All right. So they are approved as written. And the January 12, 2023 minutes.
I make a motion, we approve them as written.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And thank you, Brittany.
I guess I could second that.
So we actually don't need to have a motion for approval of minutes. You just either accept them as changed or accept them as written. So we're in the newer versions of RR.
Oh, okay. Didn't know there was a newer version.
Oh, yeah. All right. So item 3, chairperson's report. This is the time where I need to put together an annual report. And so Margo's always been great helping out with WDCE information. You know, I can't remember, Fred. Did you guys meet at all?
We had one meeting.
At once.
Just once this year. I mean, last year.
Last year, yes.
Okay, so if you can just kind of, you know, do a little bit of a write-up on that, I'll attach that to the annual report. And then we had one finance meeting, so I can put that one together. So,
Brittany, is there any way we can get those minutes from that meeting?
Yeah, I can reach out to you.
Okay. Yeah, because we because we didn't have another meeting, we never got the minutes. And so, I mean, I have my sort of pseudo minutes, but.
Well, that's how really. I am. That's how I am for finance, because we never had another one. So I'm just going to go by my notes. But
okay. Another way is to actually go to the city clerk's office and find our entry in the boards and commissions, and the legal action report should be posted there.
That's if they were
made. Oh, if they were approved.
If they were sent in. But okay. For the two, the finance and Annie, I can help fill in the blanks for the content.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So do they send them to you first, Brittany, and then you send it to me?
I sent out the draft in a Word document. So you can go ahead and type on that Word document. That is from the prior year.
The year I did it. Okay.
And you can send it to me and I can forward it to you, Chris, or Margo, whatever your contribution is, you can send it straight to Chris. I know you're, or the both of us, just yeah. So
okay.
We can, you know, worst case scenario, I have a copy of it in our.
Okay.
I can do this.
Go ahead.
I'll do the same, Brittany.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Yeah, because I always like to make sure I get it in before the end of March.
Right. That's why we have a good final draft to approve at the next meeting.
Right. Okay. Good. All right. Okay, I'm done. Now, item 4, director's report. Carlos, you're up.
Okay. Brittany, can you bring up those slides if you can?
Yes, let me go ahead and share my screen. Give me one moment.
So in absence of really not meeting as the engineering and environmental committee, I just wanted to provide you a brief overview of some of the projects that we got going on. I know probably Frank covered some of them yesterday, or maybe they were covered on the previous subcommittee. So I may be repeating myself on some of the stuff, but hopefully not too much. So the first project listed on the agenda is cell 4B. So if you can go to the next page, Brittany. So we only got one bid, essentially, and it's Rummel Construction out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Our bid amount was essentially $7.8 million or $7.736.58.34, $7.8 million. We had estimated, the insurance estimate was 7.3 or 7.2. So it came in a little bit above essentially the estimate. If you recall, kind of what we paid on cell 4A was around $4.5 million. Reason for it is this cell is significantly bigger than the first cell. So if you look at the screen, you see a blue line. So it kind of on the bottom right. In the middle of the cell. So that really depicts essentially the cell area. The area shaded in blue, in light blue, that's essentially that cell itself, plus additional work that they're going to do to tie into existing waste footprint. So you see essentially a blue line to the right. From there to the edge of the page, that's roughly the premises or the location of cell 4A. So I'm not saying it's twice as much, but it's significantly bigger than essentially cell 4A. So that's one of the major things about the shift in the cost. Keep in mind that this improvement or this capital improvement will be all funded using our reserves. So this would really reduce our reserve quite a bit. So just want to make you aware of it. So that's on the negative side of things, but on the plus side of things, we're not having to finance essentially this project over a 20-year period. So that's always a benefit. And to your credit, that's something you have always been focused on really paying as you go. on implementing essentially the capital improvements projects. So the schedule that we're talking about, they're probably thinking about mobilizing in the next week or so. So I just gave you a general time from April to July. They really want to miss the monsoon season. They're going to be working, their schedule is about 16 weeks. They're going to be working six days per week, about a 10-hour shift. So when you look at how much dirt we still need to pull out of there, it's about 437,000 cubic yards. So what I want to give you in perspective, what does that mean? So it's basically a football field in size by 200 feet up in the air. So that tells you how much dirt we're pulling out of the hole and pulling it basically back up on top. I think pretty close to cell 4A and a little bit to the northwest of the of cell 4B. That's where they're going to be stockpiling that material. So in the future, we'll use essentially that dirt for daily cover as part of our field plan on cell 4B. So I don't know if there's any questions, comments regarding that that project. So that's underway. So it's much needed, and we look forward to really having a very successful project, very similar in nature to what we did with a borderline construction separately. The other cost that is not a fuck in there. Yes, sir.
Carlos, I had a question for you. Do you have built in a contingency in that bid?
There is no contingency. So essentially that's the base bid. But essentially when we looked at the project itself, we even though we had an estimate of about 7.2, I programmed about $8.5 million for the project. So there's a little bit of room for that. Hopefully we don't use it all, but that's essentially what we had allocated for that as a program cost.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Moving on to the next one. Next slide, please. This is the household hazardous waste facility, which is essentially really to the intent of the project was really to relocate our HHW facility from Sweetwater, consolidate all HHW facilities, not only the collection, but processing of all the materials to Los Reales. So we didn't go out to bid. We're using what we call a job order contractor service delivery. As Durazo Construction is doing the work. The original project cost was given to us at $515,765. We have executed some change orders to date about to the tune of $36,000. They started construction back in August. The plan is really to have it constructed by July of this year. There's been a couple of delays associated with the project in the fabrication of the steel canopy and steel fabrication of the columns and the canopy itself. We are also have seen effects of there is two bunkers or two specialty storage bunkers that are fireproof, bulletproof, and all that stuff, that there's been a delay on getting them in place or getting them delivered. The other one is some of the equipment that we are essentially, we're planning to use there. It has had a long delay in equipment delivery. So even some of the fans that we were thinking of really circulating in the air, even though it's still going to be open, we need to circulate some air within that canopy. And also we have ordered some can crushers that essentially when we collect paint, those containers need to be crushed. And so those are going to be new additions. And that's the delay that we're seeing in terms of the equipment delivery associated with that project. So again, started in August, finished in July, and that's going to be a great addition to our facility at Los Reales.
Great.
Next slide. So we have heard a lot about really the Mail and Trees campaign, the different players in terms of being involved to something beautiful, mayor's office. So one of the things that we're doing in the interim is we're setting up a temporary nursery at Los Reyes. If you look at essentially the slide, it's teal, it's kind of like light green. That's the location of it. We're thinking about the project cost. What we projected on that project is about $25,000. It includes essentially about a quarter of an acre, plus and minuses. So the fence has been completed. The work that is currently in process is really what they call a critter fence. And then Parks and Rec is going to move in, I believe, next week to install the irrigation system. My understanding is really we started back in February. We're finalizing at the end of the month. We were scheduling or are still scheduling a ribbon cutting ceremony of April 19th of this year. So that is kind of in line with Earth Day or Earth Week. So that's another project that has been essentially has been developed and implemented at Los Reales.
Carlos, so,
yes,
mm-hmm. We did contact the mayor's office and they are okay with us changing the date to May 6th.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
And also, we had a discussion of this yesterday. And one of the concerns that I expressed was that it's being watered with potable water. And we wondered why three alternative sources of water could be used. One, of course, is rainwater and capturing the rainwater on site to be used. Secondly, there's the stormwater pond that is at the landfill, which retains water from rainwater that runs off the landfill. And it seems to me, even though there's no electricity, we understand at this site that perhaps a sump pump can be put in at the stormwater pond and just using a hose or something take the water down. And the third one is that, of course, there is the groundwater treatment facility there, that why that treated water isn't being used. So I think it's not a very good optic to be using potable water when there are three other sources of water available at the landfill.
So Ms. Margo, point well taken. Reason for it is it's very close to a fire hydrant and a source of water. One, two, our pump and treat system is located on the northern part of the landfill, but on the west side of the landfill. So we would have to deploy a lot of piping and improvements to that. This is really intended to be a temporary site. And you know what temporary means for the city, but it's probably a couple of years. But in terms
10 or 15 years minimum.
Yeah. But if you recall, that's really one of the areas that we're contemplating to build the mixed-use processing facility or the MRF. So it's something that really just came to be very urgent, put it in place there without really investing a lot of money in utilities. Because as you may recall, the actual nursery that we're thinking, it was really on the north side.
Yeah, of was up the road, above the curve.
Above the curve, that's correct. But again, trying to bring utilities, trying to do all this stuff, given the timeline that we're given really to get that going, that option wasn't there. So that's the reason we're pursuing that. And quite frankly, given the time we didn't consider really doing stormwater capture. We didn't really consider looking into the pond and picking that source of water up at this point in time. Again, it's really just the urgency of really getting it going, because what is happening, what we're hearing from Tucson Clean and Beautiful is they're not really are able to get a lot of the trees as they used to get. They have a lot of seedlings already in place that they really need some space really to deploy those. And that's what we had essentially identified that area in a very fast manner. So that's kind of the long answer, not the right answer. From a long-term perspective is we are planning on making improvements to our pump and treat system. So pretty much our water needs on the northern part of the landfill will be essentially met by that pump and treat system. And then on the southern end of the landfill, kind of the eastern southern end of the landfill, we're working with Tucson Water really to develop a new groundwater, a new well, a new production well that would essentially, that would take care of those water needs. Still, when you look at the pump and treat system, that is groundwater, and that's groundwater that essentially has been contaminated that we're just cleaning. And so what we end up, what we are planning on doing is really build a well on the upstream side of the water source, pick that water up without really having to go through the pump and treat system. So we did consider in the past when we were first talking about the Build Back Better grant of the possibility of bringing in the reclaimed water system. One is very long, is very far, very costly. And really Tucson Water is really not very in favor, at least at this point in time, or at least to continue to deploy that system. Because in their minds, they essentially have two distribution systems. They have to operate as compared to one single potable system. So that's why the reclaimed water system was not really, it's not financially feasible, one. Two, it's from an operating perspective, they really don't want to expand the system as much as they can. So that's kind of what we're looking at that, at least at this point in time.
Well, I would request that in 6 months that it be reevaluated, because if you look at, you know, building a new production well or some other things to service this area, which is what I hear you saying, you know, those wells are hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yes. Easily a production well is about right now, about $1.3, $1.5 million.
There you are, $1.5 million. And so, you know, it just it seems really bizarre in a city that's pushing sustainability, not even to have any rainwater capture on that site, not trying to do anything and just relying on potable water from the Central Arizona Project, which is being diminished. I mean, it really seems very counter to what people are saying. And I'm surprised Tucson Water using management as a excuse for not doing a better job at managing the water. That they don't want to have to manage two systems. That's a pretty lame excuse.
Well, I think smart. Well, one of the other things is, so if one of the things that they're considering as part of the strategies, and again, don't quote me on this, and this is really a very rough understanding of their operation, is one thing is really to pull the water from the groundwater, okay, clean it, and distribute it to essentially to folks, okay? The concern is once essentially that water goes through all the systems, whether you're washing dishes, you're whatever you're doing, it lands essentially in the wastewater system. At that point in time, you're treating it to a certain level, but you really are not treating it to the level. They're concerned about the PFAS essentially contamination. Sure. Yeah. So that's why I think they're being very careful and very, very succinct in terms of their deployment of that water resource for future areas. So that's what's being considered.
The trees don't care about PFAS. So as long as the workers aren't drinking the water, the PFAS is of no problem to the trees. And so even the treatment of the water from the groundwater that's contaminated could be put on the trees. You don't even need to treat the water that's been, you know, that has whatever all the other things are besides PFAS.
So the concern is not only goes about really the water itself, it's really for those chemicals or those contaminants really to reach the soil as well. So there's a lot of parameters in there that they're concerned, and that's what essentially what they're being a little bit more careful on that. But I understand what you're saying. So,
yeah.
Okay. Any other questions on that end? So let's see if there's any opportunities for us to work with TCB and see if we can make some of those suggested improvements. We may be too far down the line, but we'll certainly try.
Okay.
Next project, we are doing some planning for some road improvements within the road system of the landfill. One is really to add more lane capacity coming into the landfill, so that way they can not only go around the typical lanes, so they can go drop off the materials, but also really to give them more of an outbound way of getting out of the landfill as well. We still are working on really doing the intersection improvements of Craycroft and Los Reales. That's being planned as well. So those roads need to be, they're beat up, and we are looking at not just only making modifications to expand the capacity, the functionality, but also really the condition of those roadways. So right now we're just developing the plans, doing some preliminary work on that. Most likely those will be constructed in fiscal year 24. Next one. The other thing that we're embarking on, it's really going through the plan area development amendment and the facility plan amendment. So as Brittany mentioned earlier, we planned to have an open house at Los Reales on May 6th. I didn't know the exact date, but we wanted to do it on a Saturday. And I think May 6th falls on Saturday. And so the idea is really to give the public an idea of what we're thinking before we start the formal PAD process. So just want to make sure that we engage with the public, inform them of what the various land uses that we plan on modifying at Los Reales, and then also that we're going to be embarking on the facility plan, because we need to get the approval from ADEQ. And so we need to embark not only from a land use perspective, the approvals from the city and public engagement, but also from ADEQ to make sure that we're giving the approvals to operate the facility as what we're intended to operate it. So we're going to be embarking on those, on that open house. That's going to basically kick off or start off the process. And it's probably at least a year and a half process that we'll have to endure going through that plan revision.
So Carlos, they're going to have the ribbon cutting on the same day as the open house, basically.
That's what it sounds like that. So it was news to me. So yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was clear.
Yes. So hopefully you guys can carve that time. It would be nice if you guys can attend that and be in attendance of that open house, not only in terms of really the ribbon cutting ceremony, but also really some of the residents will definitely be very active on notifying the adjacent neighbors, the businesses, and hopefully we'll get a good participation. So the idea would be we'll set up some boards. We'll probably have some refreshments and some food, and we'll basically have maybe a banner or two if people are interested in really looking at the working phase and understanding what we do. We'll certainly do that. So hopefully that cell 4B will be way under construction. We'll basically give them an idea of that. So it's really just an overall perspective of what we do, what the plans are, what we're doing from environmental protection, and really what are some of the things that we're embarking on and planning on. So that way they're a little bit more aware of who's their neighbor.
Is there a time frame for that, Carlos?
For the May 6th? Yeah. I think we're talking about from 9 to noon, I believe.
9 to noon, okay.
Okay, next slide, please. The other CIP projects and programs that we're working on too as well, the Los Reales Gas Landfill Gas Realization Project. So we initiated what we call a two-step selection process. First step is really qualifications-based. Second one is really going to be the technical and price proposal. Right now, we're to the stage that we have identified, the city has identified five firms that are going to be shortlisted. Those five firms that are going to be shortlisted, there's going to be some interviews that will be conducted in the next, I would say, 30 days. And then from that point on, essentially, the top three firms will then proceed to step two. And that is really the proposal. So I'm venturing to say that probably the tentative schedule really to have landfill gas developer on board is probably going to be this summer. So that's what we're hoping for. The other program, the glass reuse program, some of you know it's been very difficult a little to manage the drop-off site. It really has been to be run into a couple of safety issues. Not only is one thing to deal with glass, and another thing is really to deal with broken glass, and the other thing is really to deal with windmill trash or cardboard. And so we're having to spend a little bit more time than normal on really cleaning up those sites. So that's one component that we're spending a little bit more time than anticipated. Strategic materials, that folks that essentially come and pick up the glass, is barely keeping up with the volumes we're generating. So we still have a good pile out there. So what they're doing is they really are taking it enough really to keep up with what we're bringing in, but they really are not really making a big dent on the pile itself. Now that we're almost on the final stages, so really finalizing an amendment with Republic, which is not very favorable, we're looking at probably evaluating to incorporate glass back into the blue bin system, because we're still glass is really still being generated, still being placed in the bin. Because it's excluded on the system, is being considered as residue. So when you add that tonnage plus the actual trash itself, we're basically looks like we're generating a lot of trash. So we certainly don't want to do that. We're looking at the possibility of transitioning back into the system, so that way glass is not considered to be a residue. We may still keep a few sites available, but most likely we probably may recommend that we put it back into the system. But I know we'll probably discuss it with you as we move down the road at the next couple of meetings, but those are some of the things that we're looking at considering.
What's happened to the glass crusher that's sitting down there that could be operated to pick up this additional material and follow through with the plan that had been on how to use it at the filling sandbags, using it for construction and so forth?
Ms. Margot, quite frankly, nothing has changed in terms from a staffing level. It really has been very challenging really to be able to operate that machine, because we barely have enough bodies really to keep up with the litter. And so, and the thing we got going on, that we just haven't had the ability really to devote a lot of time for that. And that's really just the reality of things.
But it seems to me that the cost issue, I mean, I can't believe that you're talking about putting it back in the blue barrel when, I mean, I can see why Republic wants it. It's very heavy. And so it adds to their tipping fee tremendously with out much, and then they get to pay for it again. Is it going out as trash? I mean, it just seems like such a lose-lose proposition. And all for the fact that you can't hire three or four more people to handle the project.
Well, I think, Ms. Margot, not to disagree with you, but it's I understand your perspective and I agree with you. I think it's really the scale, okay, in terms of the magnitude of glass coming in and the ability really to process it. So not to process it, even if we had those three folks, it's really the capacity of the machine. So that's, and actually the other component of that is, where is it really going? And if it's still, half of it's still going into the bin, and that's the analysis that we need to run, and you're going to be part of that analysis of that review in terms of what we do with that. So.
But I mean, there's a difference between half and whole. I mean, the fact is, you're not paying the tipping fee for half of that. Instead, it's going down to be crushed and was also going to be used for landfill cover. I mean, there were all kinds of things that were slated in the discussions of setting that program up. And that keep strategic materials taking as much as they can. I mean, that still should be in the program, not stopping with them if they're willing to keep hauling the stuff. No, I think it needs an awful lot of discussion and analysis of the trade-offs.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Now, I'm not quite sure about item five, the alternating schedule for staff reports.
So
that, I'm not quite sure what that means.
So what, as you may recall, a couple meetings ago, we were having issues with really establishing quorum for not only the full ESAC, but some of the subcommittees. Okay. And so a lot of the stuff keeps basically moving, keep going. And so one of the suggestions that I had is, and again, it's, I'm not advocating for it, but this is really a strategy, is could just like I'm doing today, could I bring some of those, like some of those updates to full ESAC in absence of really having some of those committees that have not met. Okay. That was it. It was really just for if that was even to be considered or not. I'm not advocating one way or another. It was really just providing us an alternative, really to continue to provide you the information, because I have heard from some of you saying, well, we haven't met on environmental and engineer for over a year. So the thought was, can I bring some of those updates, provide you that? And that was really the intent of that item. But you don't even have to discuss it. You don't have to consider it. That was just something that I just wanted to put on the table as a way to provide an alternative if we still have issues on meeting quorum as full ESAC or even on the subcommittees.
Okay. Let me just mention something about quorum. I just want to tell you that Steve Kozacik is having the issues with our BCCs making quorum, because we're not the only one, in a study session with mayor and council. So we're hoping that some of that can be taken care of. So with finance, we don't have an accountant, right? And without an accountant, we really can't meet.
Well, we can meet. I can provide you a brief overview of where we're at, and
uh-huh. Okay.
But at the level of details, we probably don't. And yes.
Okay. So, all right. So that was finance, and we did make a point of meeting in July. So I think that was a good time. What about you guys, Fred, Mike?
Sorry, I was on mute. What's your question, Margo? I mean, Chris.
Well, it's well, you guys make quorum because you're the only
two. Yeah, we're the only two on it.
Committee. Yeah. Right. And it's just a matter of connecting
right
with the engineer and setting up meetings, right?
Right. Their schedules are so
good.
The last couple of times we've scheduled them, their schedules didn't coincide, so you know, nobody ever got back to us with dates.
Okay.
Now, as far as Carlos's, you know, idea, I kind of like that idea. If we haven't met, you know, yeah, it's a good idea to bring something to the table, because you know, obviously we need to know what's going on. But I really think it is a challenge. You know, when, you know, I sympathize with Carlos with staffing, but on the other hand, if we have these ad hoc committees, you know, these subcommittees, we need to meet. That's why we're on these subcommittees. If we're not going to meet, then let's not have them.
Well, I think that's Carlos' point. And I guess listening to what you're saying about the engineering, that it was an issue of priorities, that the staff somehow didn't make it a high enough priority
for right.
the committee to function. And that, I guess the question is, whose responsibility is it to see that that subcommittee meets? I'm not sure it's fair for the citizens to have to take that on in terms of trying to ask the staff when they're available and then make a committee meeting for that. I don't know, Carlos. That's your call. How are you looking at the staffing for these subcommittees?
we're fine. And I think we can accommodate any schedule. I think we can meet. It was really just probably it fell through the cracks on our end, but it really shouldn't be a major issue for us to schedule those meetings on a quarterly basis. So should it be an issue with that? Or if require a monthly, I don't think a whole lot of stuff occurs from one month to the other, especially on those projects, but meeting on a quarterly basis, we should be able to meet that deadline.
Yeah, quarterlies are fine. I mean, that especially with the environmental engineering, mm-hmm. but again, we need to schedule them.
Okay.
So I think on that is maybe if you don't mind, maybe amongst you guys, you guys can tell us a few dates, send them to us, and then we'll make sure that we post the agenda and work with you on posting the agenda and schedule the meetings. So, or we could do that from our office, reach out to both of you and really get that scheduled.
Well, it seems to me like it would be up to you guys to schedule something because you know more or less
what your schedules are, yeah.
Your schedule is a lot more complex than mine is anyway. And I would much rather have you guys give us the options as to when we can meet with you guys. Because really, you know, I know that there's already too many meetings everywhere and nothing really gets done at a meeting, but we do need to have the information from you as far as what the progress is on these various deals that you're working on. But I would highly suggest that if you tell us when's the best time for you guys to meet, I think we can accommodate you. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. I mean, my schedule is fairly flexible. So, you know, they give us a couple of dates, you know.
And may I just say, as a matter of process that I've found from the many years I've been involved in this, is that you always set the next date at the last meeting. So otherwise, I know for me that if I don't do that, then all of a sudden a month has gone by and it's time to schedule a meeting and it takes another 2 months and you're way out of whack. So I just think it's really critical to have an understanding when the next meeting is going to be, even if it's 3 months off. You can always change it, but at then at least people have an idea they're heading towards that.
Well, and I think too, we're dealing with things post-COVID. So
yeah, we're building back.
Kind of lost some of our momentum. And my dog is barking, so you guys talk.
Yeah, and I was glad to see environmental engineering because I was quite surprised at our meeting yesterday for waste diversion. We got the essentially the whole presentation you just saw. So, and we had plenty to talk about. So
we're glad was almost to send that back 2 hours. It, yeah. We almost went to 5. That was
went the full 2 hours.
So. That was a really good meeting, and we'll hear. Were you gonna give that report today? I guess
it's yes, I'm all prepared. I've got my 2 pages here of report, and I can cut out a big section of it because it got given. Which is fine with me.
So here, what you're saying. So if you don't mind, then so what I'm understanding is. We'll propose a couple of dates. This is really pretty much the crux of the E&E subcommittee. So if we're looking at it per quarter, we'll probably schedule a meeting pretty much somewhere in June. So we'll get that, send a couple of dates for you guys to consider. You give us a nod, and then we'll schedule the meeting moving forward. Okay, thank you. Unless you want to do it differently, but that's what I understood.
That sounds right. That sounds about right. Sure,
I was fine. Okay.
And I think we're okay for WDCE now for quorum. So that shouldn't be a problem. Okay, let's see. Margo, would we use item 5 to give? Can we use item 5 for Margo to give her report?
Some reason I can't find my agenda.
I think there's other items.
It's on number 8 on the back of the agenda. Right, yeah.
So just a point of order. Gotcha.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because I actually have 2 meetings to report on.
Oh, there it is. Okay, sorry. I just had this one sheet out. All right. Can we move on to item 6?
brief overview, finalizing the final stages of the zero waste roadmap, scheduled really to put it on the council's consideration probably by the in April. I think we missed already the March deadline. So that's essentially the timeline. Nothing has really materially changed from what you guys have seen. So we'll essentially get that adopted or put in the agenda.
So who put this all together?
So HDR, remember that workshop that you guys attended a few years ago? Yeah, so essentially it's just compiling all the different documents, all the different working papers into one document and really just laying the ground for some of the high level programs that we can pursue as we move forward on the zero waste plan.
Are we going to get a copy of that report?
Yes, ma'am.
When?
After mayor and council, right?
So maybe what we'll do is maybe we'll do it as part of the next as an agenda item for the waste diversion committee. Maybe you guys can take a look at it and before we take it to council. So maybe that will be the way to do it.
April. Yeah.
Well, we got a draft of it.
We got some pieces of it. I'm not sure we got the whole
attached. Yeah. I do want to say that it was nice to see Environmental Services Advisory Committee's name on page 20 under stakeholder workshops, because we kind of got left out of the climate action plan, in case you didn't notice. But anyhow, that was nice to see. We like to matter. So anything else? Any questions about the zero waste update? Okay. Moving on to item 7, the monthly finance report.
Eve, I may request Chair really to table that item for the next meeting.
Okay, let's table it.
Are you still having problems with the program?
Yes, ma'am. So not only in terms really having this staff person here, but there's other folks that essentially have retired within the city that is really that essentially that pool, it has really, really diminished. And so that's really has been a struggle. Plus, we still continue to struggle with the implementation of the enterprise system. So yeah, we still continue to be challenged on that end.
Wow. Sorry to hear that.
Yep. Yeah. It makes your management difficult when you don't have those numbers.
The way I'm describing that is I'm flying a plane in the middle of a cloud. Okay, it's a cloudy day, my gauges are not working, so I don't know if I'm basically I'm going to be hitting essentially or the radar. I'm going to be hitting either a mountain or a cliff, or I'm just going to crash. But as long as I got fuel, I can still fly the plane, but I don't know where I'm going and I don't know when I'm going to crash. So
that's not a very good feeling.
You might need a parachute.
Maybe too late for a parachute because I might just crash on the ground.
Don't fly upside down either.
Jeez. Good Lord.
Oh, geez. Oh, well. Just staying alive. All right, let's move on to item 8 for the subcommittee reports. And Margo, you're on.
Okay, I've got 2 reports because we didn't have a meeting before. So one was on February 1st, we met for a 1-hour meeting. And I shared some newspaper articles about using ground up plastic mixed with asphalt for paving roads. And also an article on the collection of plastic film and the other non-recyclables that's going into this permanent program, the Bifusion. I understand that that's still moving forward, that there's a contract between the city and Bifusion, which is under consideration. They're already looking for a site to build where they're going to build their firm where they're going to, or their manufacturing plant will start doing that. And apparently we're one of the lead cities in the United States in doing this. So people are still very excited about it. The other thing that needs to be is other collection sites besides Ward 6. I mean, I think they're having to pull that roll off almost daily, because if you go by, I just went by it again and it was already stuffed full and things piling up against the wall. So the amount of people bringing their things is really quite large. So anyway, Christina went over the MRF report, and again, there's no final tally on the amount the city will have to pay because the contract is in negotiation. That was for December and that's continuing today. They thought they had an agreement with Republic, but when Republic presented the written form, it was back to the non-agreed version. There was an executive session of the mayor and council to discuss that contract and the approach to the negotiations with Republic. Apparently, there's consideration of building, the city is talking about building a new MRF on the LRSC, the Los Reales Sustainability Council, and hiring a company to management, just like Phoenix is doing. But there's no one really who's been, no staff has been tasked with starting to study that. We noted that trash was still at 29%, even though there was a new audit, and some of the recyclables that are missed, how that's going on. We asked the question, has the MRF been updated at all since it's now 15 years old? And have there been any new machines put in that might be functioning better than the ones they have? There was no, we didn't have an answer to that, and we had put it on the agenda, but we didn't get any answer at this past meeting. In the collections section, we talked about staffing issues with regards to tier one, tier two, and tier three levels of pay for the workers, and the issue with hiring and retention. The new group of 16 employees that they were getting were to go through the evaluation, and they are getting better candidates. They're getting transfers from Waste Management, Republic, and from the Water Department. They're hoping to be able to hire 10, but they do actually have a 12 person deficiency, at least at that time, in the residential overall operator deficiency. The brush and bulky program is creating crews for handling the residential pickup, as well as the homeless protocol. We looked at the rate adjustments, and of course, we know that those have gone through. Christina had interviewed people to be her assistant to take Kendra's place. She had the person we learned yesterday is starting on Monday, so that's wonderful that she's going to get some help. There also were all the meetings which they had, the clean community meetings that people went around to. Some of us went to those. I went to the one at Ward 6. There were about 25 people there, and they talked about roll-offs and so forth. And we got the details, well, some more of the details about the homeless protocols and how that was going to work. And that seems to be working okay so far, though that is about 2.5 weeks from the time it's someone calls in the homeless camp to when it's actually taken care of. Tree cycle was a success. There were no major issues. The last zero waste day, which was in November, had 400 cars. Everybody who was collecting materials were totally maxed out. They took all they could possibly take. And it was going to be scheduled again in April, and it's scheduled for April the 15th. And they have all the same people coming back again. In code enforcement, it continues the staffing issue. They had 12 staff at the time with 12 zones. They were recruiting, hoping for three more. They are looking at sort of working at hot spots, just like the police department does, and working with them. And sometimes it gets kind of behind because things take so long in the court. And they had one fellow who owns 6 apartment buildings who are always having a problem, and he was taken to court, and it's not clear that they're really get anything happening. But of course, the problem is these people that continue to be problems time after time use a lot of the resources of code enforcement when there are a lot of other issues out there as well. So it's an issue on several levels. So then we met yesterday. We have two new members. Well, actually, Trevor had joined us last time, and this time Fred joined us, Arizak, and we said goodbye to Yolanda. Trevor gave us a report on the waste diversion plans for the U of A when the students leave in May. They've partnered with suburban miners to handle the things the students are disposing of in May when they leave their dorms. Food will go to the campus pantry. And last year they diverted about 100,000 pounds of waste from the landfill. The honors dorm, which has 1,000 students, will be handled internally by the Office of Sustainability. Off-campus living accommodations are another issue entirely. Christina Polesgrove went over the MRF report. Again, what we did do also, Ernesto was there, who handles a lot of the recycling issues. And he explained better how the whole report is constructed. And I thought that was pretty interesting. So four times a year an audit is done. And to do an audit, they clear the floor, they clear all the machines. From a whole week, they pick different trucks to come and drop things in this particular area. And then they go through and do a sort on those. And then they carefully weigh each of those piles of material they have. And that sets the percentage that we see consistently for the next 3 months. So if it was 22% old cardboard, then that will be for January, February, and March. And it's not until they do a new audit that that number would change. So when we see those numbers reflected in the reports that we're getting, it's the percentage that they got from the audit times the total amount that was collected that particular month. So that's how those numbers come about. How do the costs come about? That was kind of interesting. So in a month, Ernesto explains he gets a humongous big spreadsheet with all this stuff on it. And all of the sales for the month for that commodity are totaled up. And then it's that total sales is divided by the total number of tons of that particular material. And that's what gives us that price. So it's an average, because being on the market, it can change daily, weekly, he said, even hourly. So that's where those particular numbers come from. And if their costs, like shipping or other handling, special handling costs, those are subtracted from that total amount that was sold for that particular commodity. The materials are hopefully shipped out in 24 hours from when they're collected. So they're not sitting around, they're not hoarding, they're not keeping them, but they do need a full truck in order to ship stuff out. So some stuff goes out faster than others. We discussed why Republic appears to be not cooperating with Bifusion Project using the film plastics that the MRF doesn't even take. And Pat Tappy explained that the Republic, who owns the MRF, takes in money from the amount of materials collected. So as I was talking earlier about the glass, Republic's income comes from the number of pounds or tons that are put on the floor, the tipping floor. So of course they view anything not coming into the MRF as lost income to them. And so that's their perspective, which, you know, in terms of this film plastic, which is so light, you know, doesn't make a lot of sense, but anyway, they're looking at it from that. So looking at the actual MRF report, we don't see any diminishment of the number one and number two plastics, which bring in the most money, because Pat was saying, you know, that Steve, Ward 6 is collecting is also coming from the apartments that don't have recycling and from the county, which doesn't have recycling. So people are bringing more than just the film, and that's probably what Republic is worried about. We don't know if the grocery stores and other stores that collect the grocery bags are seeing any diminishment in the amount of collection they have, which is probably the only place we would see that. But anyway, that's as far as I know, the latest I've heard, and that's in Steve's newsletter, they're moving ahead with the development of Bifusion's plant here. The city has said that this will be the last amendment to the MRF contract. So that contract is sitting in the attorney's offices. There are 4 years left on the master 20-year contract. They have taken away a number of fees that they used to pay to us, for instance, education fee, third-party fee, the ACR differential fees. All of those are shown in our MRF report as being taken away, but we still don't know what the final amount is, and it's running in the $183,000 was the estimate that was being put on the reports that we saw. So it will fall on the city to have to do more education and not rely on others. And so that's something we need to put in our bonnet that to pay attention to is the education for recycling. Moving on to collections, Pat Tapia said there was an increasing time lag between ordering new trucks and getting them delivered. They have 13 trucks on order. It's now 6 to 8 months to get a chassis, and then they have to add on to that, top of that. But he's hoping to have two new front loaders in the next 2 months. They have to negotiate a contract for the trash barrels because there's about 1.3 million trash barrels replaced annually. I find that number just astonishing when we think that we have only 144,000 customers. So that's an awful lot of trash barrels, and mine's at least 10 years old or 15 years old. So I'm quite, don't know where all those trash barrels are going, but I suppose it's because we don't. Well, he said annually. They were $50 and now they've gone up to $70. And the alleyway barrels used to be $250 and they're now $420. So inflation is hitting there as well. They're using two different companies to actually distribute those trash barrels because one company just couldn't get it done fast enough. The group handling the homeless camp cleanups is working together well as a team. The biggest problem, of course, is not enough housing. The ES, interesting, is getting 50 referrals a week and is doing about 45 phase two cleanups. So that's where the people are gone and they left and they clean up around after them. So I'm amazed at the number of 50. It just seems really astonishing. It still takes 2.5 weeks to get an assessment of the site before ES gets called in, but usually they're able to clean it up in 24 to 48 hours. The service level agreement with Tucson Water expired a number of years ago, and it was actually originally developed in 2013. Things have changed a lot since then, and so the new agreement will have a notice of expectations, read the speed of answering calls, correct information, and there'll be provisions for an audit. So that's the agreement between the Tucson Water and Environmental Services as to answering the telephone, sending out the billing, and that kind of effort that's made by Tucson Water, and which ES pays for, pays a contribution to get that done. We then heard about the Cell 4B, which you've all heard about. I won't repeat any of that. And the household hazardous waste and the tree nursery site, which we discussed, and I brought up some of the concerns about the water use. They're also hoping to use as much compost as possible on the trees. And I hope that we talked about other places, how to get compost out into the community. For instance, I thought maybe they could provide at the zero waste day, they could have a truck, pickup truck full of compost, and people could take a bag or something with them home. Christina didn't think that would work because of the way the traffic has flowed through, but maybe in the future there'll be some kinds of places where people can actually pick up the compost. I think she talked about Award 3 having a compost demonstration, and people could get some from at that time. So maybe through the Award offices. I mentioned that April 15th, there will again be a zero waste day. They're getting all the same people back again who are happy to come because they get all the materials they could want. We talked about the May 6th landfill open house and tree nursery ribbon cutting with the mayor. And then we also have a firm called, I believe it's Environmental Education Collaboration. They're the ones that do the school classes that on a contract with ES. And they're revising their curriculum to take care of things like to talk about single-use products like plastic bags and bottles. And so that there'll be more emphasis on that besides just putting things into the blue barrel. Laurie Pumphrey from the code enforcement update, they continue to work out the kinks in this new software they have. They've had one retirement and are still recruiting. I think we'll hear this. If anything is like the past, we'll hear that story for several months. If they can get the 3, that will get them up to 14. Most of the calls coming in, interestingly, are regarding vacant houses. So houses that have been abandoned or where the water is turned off and the electricity is turned off, and then how to secure them when they come in and they put wood over the windows and so forth to keep people from breaking into them. They are moving to e-citations like the Tucson Police Department. So when the people in the trucks will have a printer, they'll be able to type in the citation. It will immediately get sent to the court and they can print out a copy and hand it to the person getting that citation. Internal audit committee, that's something that's been going on for 2 years or so. COVID really did a number on that committee, but they're finalizing their report. We haven't seen the final report yet, but we understand that they're going to suggest 7 more code enforcement officers, which would bring up the number, if they have 14, up to 21, which would be incredible. They have been 2,283 cases from October 22 to March 20. To 23. So that's the number of cases that they're managing with, we're at this time 11 people. Next agenda, we are looking at, we want to see the independent audit report, have a chance to discuss it. Campus neighborhood waste diversion at move out time. Right now, all ES does is put out some extra rollouts. So there's no waste diversion, it's just capturing and getting into the landfill. The service level agreement and South Tucson's contract with ES for waste collection. So it was a full meeting, 2 hours, but we had a lot, learned a lot. I did anyway. Any questions? Any committee members? Anything you want to add that I neglected?
Margo, very informative report. I appreciate it. What was the number of trash cans again that they've ordered?
1.3 million.
Holy cow.
I know. As I was saying, I have a hard time getting my head around that, but it may be, that's what he told us. It's possible I got it wrong, but what do you remember, guys? Chris, Trevor, Fred?
I have to get my notes.
No, it was really, really affirmative. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a good meeting.
Carlos is raising his hand.
Yes, Carlos.
So it's not, it's worth, the contract is worth $1.3 million, okay? So
when you that makes a lot more sense.
Is about 17,000 containers a year, okay?
17,000.
So we do that we have 142,000 containers. They're roughly about, useful life is about 10 years. So we have to replace about 17,000 per year. And not all of them are 95-gallon containers. It also includes 300 gallons, 45. And so that's what that figure is. So that was very important that we keep up with that investment, because we don't want for the cans to really look very crappy. We want to make sure they're useful, the lids, and that the appearance looks good. So that's what the continued investment on that. So that's what it really represents. So when you think about it, it equates to basically a dollar for whatever residents pays, a dollar a month just to be able to maintain that container. But you contrast that, how much does it cost us to buy a garbage can? Is about $50 when you go to the store. So it's not a bad deal. Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks for that correction because it just didn't make sense to me. So thank you.
Okay, all done?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we're to item 9, future agenda items. Any requests?
Hopefully we'll get some financial data.
Okay.
I know, Carlos.
and also the zero waste roadmap.
Yeah, an update on that. Okay. Anything else? Margo?
I guess, yeah, this whole thing on glass, really, I'm bothered by it.
Okay.
So I'm sure it'll come to our waste diversion. We'll mull it over first and see, maybe we can sort through all the different factors that are in it because its weight is so heavy, just really tips the scales.
Yeah. We need to say, add refuse, have people refuse to buy things in glass containers. So, all right. Oh, it's that time of the year again. Let's see how I can mess this up. So anyways, we need to nominate a chair and a vice chair. And the floor is open for nominations. If you make a nomination, just, state your name for the records and we'll move on from there. So,
Chris, I nominate you to continue on as president.
Second.
Well, I'm not president.
Well, chairman.
Chair.
I don't ever want to be president.
Okay. Chair.
Okay, was there a second?
Yeah, yes. Margo did.
Yes, Margo.
Okay, now remember, I'm getting old, all right? I can't keep doing it, you know? So any of you, if you feel like you want to jump right in, you learn a lot right away, that's for sure. So I guess I have to accept it.
Well, I think we should vote.
Vote on it. Okay. I think it's a done deal, but anyway. Okay, let's vote on it.
You're supposed to accept the nomination.
Yeah, okay.
And then we'll do a roll call vote.
Okay. So let's do a roll call vote, and you'll do that, Brittany? Or should I do that?
I'll let you have the honors.
Okay. Ryan, Thomas.
Gosh, it's so loaded having you do the vote. yes, I vote. I vote in favor.
So I try not to be intimidating, Ryan. Okay. Fred, Ariza?
Yes, I'm in favor of you. In that you're good. You're very good at what you're doing.
I try a lot. So, Margo Garcia?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. And Trevor, Trevor.
I also vote in favor.
And Mike.
Yes, I vote in favor.
Susanna.
Okay. Oh, it's a done deal.
Susanna.
Oh, Susanna. Can you just type something in? Okay. she said yes. All right. Let's move on to vice chair. And that's you, Mike, right?
Yeah. I nominate Mike for vice chair.
I accept it.
Is there a second?
I accept it.
Okay, let's do a roll call vote for that too. All right, Ryan.
I vote in favor.
Fred.
I'm in favor of that.
Margo.
Yes.
Trevor.
I'll say yes.
Susanna. Thank you.
Yes, again.
Okay, so Mike, you're vice chair. And if you ever want to just like jump in and take over a meeting or something, that's okay with me.
So, okay.
Just for practice, you know.
So, you know, that's okay. I've been chairing meetings before, so I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. Okay. All right. So that's done. Item 11, there's no call to audience. And so, well, we're doing pretty good. Item 12, adjournment at 5:20. So hope everybody has a good night and we'll see you next month.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Bye. Thanks, everybody.
Chris, everyone. Bye. Chris, I'm going to try to find my notes and I will get that, get my stuff over to you and to Brittany for that report. I'll try to do that tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
I know I save everything. It's just I got to dig through it and find it.
Yeah. And Margo has plenty.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
Week is the earliest.
And I can help out with the